Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Let's give God some praise in this place. Give him some praise. I shouldn't have to force you to give him some praise. Because he's been good. He's been so good. He's been so good that you've been to your own self. Come on, somebody. Give God some praise. In your belly, I'm gonna give you the count of three to give God all the praise he got up for you. One, two, and three. Go. Y'all ain't praised the Lord in 2 years. You might as well go ahead and give him some praise. Come on. Look what the Lord has done. Look. Look around you. Look what the Lord is doing. He's worthy of praise. Oh, he's worthy of praise. And guess what? We're going to give him all of it. If you was in shape, you could dance for him. If you was in shape, you could dance for him. Come on. Somebody get conditioned for him. Hey! Come on. Come on. Y'all don't want to have no church. I said, y'all don't want to have no church. Come on. Hallelujah. He is so good. Can I just talk to Israel life? He is so good. Look what he's done. We've been here 6 months, and look what God is doing. In 6 months, we were in tents. We were having church in tents under solar panels. Look at my God. Y'all want to have no church. We're going to celebrate his name. Spoiler alert. He got up. Spoiler alert. Just spoiler alert. John chapter 20. Hallelujah. If you didn't know that, sorry. I messed the movie up, but he gets up. Hallelujah. John chapter 20. Oh, I just want to praise his name. I've seen the Lord, what the Lord has done just in this year alone. To not just me, but to people I love. Do you have anybody in your life that God has been blessing and you've been watching God bless them? God has been on the move. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad we with them. We flying with them. Amen. I'm in John chapter 20, verse 21. Through 23. I am reading from the New American Standard Bible. I don't know why I'm huffing and puffing. I got to talk to my trainer about this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Hallelujah. The Bible says, so Jesus said to them, again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Hallelujah, I like that. He says, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. If you believe the character, I said, if you believe the character of God, you will have resurrection power in your life. I'm going to preach. I feel like preaching today. But if you are in disbelief of God's character, you will be disconnected and blind from the things of the Lord. On this resurrection Sunday, I want to show you how God will show you evidence of his character, regardless of your level of belief. Regardless of your level, he will show you evidence of his resurrection. Now, there are three, my assignment, there are three examples that I'll highlight proving his resurrection power, that his resurrection power will find you. You ain't got to go looking for it. He'll find you. Let us pray. Father, hallelujah, we are here because of you. We are here for you, and
and we are here to hear from you. Now, Father, have your way. Do in this place what you want to do. God, I surrender all. I submit everything to you so that your people may hear from you, Father. So, Lord, I ask that you do your thing. You have your way. You do what you want to do. Touch the hearts and the minds of your people so they can be equipped to walk in your character. Father, I glorify you. I magnify your name. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. God, this is the day we celebrate your resurrection and your power, all power. Lord, it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you can, just grab somebody next to you and just say, I love you. I love you. Look at God. Just say, I love you, and just say, look at God. Just say, I love you, and just say, just look at God. Look at God. Look at God. Hallelujah. I love you. This is real. Hallelujah. Belief. Belief means to accept something as to be true or real. Belief. The meaning of this word is what connects us with God. We have to believe, hallelujah, that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If we don't believe, we are disconnected. Understand what I'm saying. Without faith, it's impossible. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's impossible to please him. You have to first believe that he is. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Come on. Our beliefs reveal our character. Hallelujah. Our beliefs reveal our character. Character. Hallelujah. Character is who you are. I like to say in my Ebonic language, who you is. Hallelujah. That's your character. Your character is what distinguishes you from anybody else. Your character is what you believe, is who you are. I ain't getting nobody yet. If they made a clone of me, they probably trying to work on that now so I can stop talking about folk. If they made a clone of me, and my clone went back to my mom, my mom be like, this ain't none of my son. Hallelujah. Because she knows my character, who I am. It's not what you look like. I know there's counterfeits. I know there's counterfeits that's going on that look like a duck, quack like a duck, but it ain't no ducks. Oh, y'all about to get me in trouble again. I lost my spouses last week. Y'all get me in trouble. But I'm just saying, hallelujah, that your character is who you are. Hallelujah. It's your soul. It's what's going to be judged. It's what leaves the body. It's your character. It's who you are. Hallelujah. But it's important that if that's who I am, then that means that I don't follow what somebody says. I follow what somebody does. What I'm trying to say to you is this. It's not about what somebody says. It's about what they do. If you want to know what somebody believe, watch them. Just watch them. Just watch them. They'll show you what they believe, because who we are, our character follows what we believe. You follow me. You follow me. You follow me. Come on, come on, come on, come on. You know, the Bible says you know them by their fruit. Oh, you know them by, hallelujah, hallelujah. Touch your neighbor and say, they know you by your fruit. Stop prophesying. You know, they know you by your fruit. Hallelujah. The character of Jesus. It's important that once you figure out what your character is, and in other words, what you believe, it's important to know what God's character is. What is Jesus' character? And the Bible says that his character, for the sake of this message, he is the resurrection and life. That he is the resurrection and life. That is his character. And we can access this character through forgiveness. Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I just said? I can access his character through forgiveness. And his character means the resurrection and life. So so what I'm saying is, whatever you forgive, you resurrect. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't know if you got some things that are going on in your life, but if you learn to forgive a thing, hallelujah, you can resurrect a thing. I don't know what's going on in your relationships, but if you learn to forgive a thing, you can resurrect. Come on, somebody. I see right now, I see marriages resurrecting. I see businesses resurrecting. I see pockets resurrecting. I see co-worker relationship with co-workers resurrecting. Why? Hallelujah. Because I learned to access the resurrection power through forgiveness. Oh, my God. Come on, touch your neighbor and say, I'm forgiven. Come on, that's resurrection. Come on, somebody, lay hands on yourself and resurrect that thing that's inside of you. I don't know who I'm talking to, but that doctor said you had cancer. I'm saying resurrect your body outside that cancer. Come on, somebody said Alzheimer's disease. You can resurrect your body from that. Come on, somebody. I bind cancer. I bind lupus. I bind anxiety in the name of Jesus. You can lay hands on yourself and resurrect. Woo! Just by forgiving. You have been forgiven. Touch your neighbor and say, you have been forgiven. Come on, somebody. In this story, we learn that the Roman soldiers, the Jewish leaders, and a handful of Jesus' followers look on as they watch Jesus suffer by being nailed to a cross. And after hours of this public Roman torture and death, Jesus takes his last breath and commits his breath back to the Father. And the Lord was dead. And to ensure he was dead, Jewish leaders requested that they break the legs of criminals that were on the cross. So they broke the legs of the two criminals that was beside Jesus. But Jesus, our Lord, was already dead. And instead of breaking his legs, because he was already dead, the Roman soldier placed a spear in his side, and blood and water was wasted. This ensured he was dead. The Bible shares with us that Joseph of Arimathea, a wealthy man, requested the body of Jesus to be laid to rest. Bodies were usually left for dead for the birds to eat on. Hallelujah. But Joseph was a disciple of Jesus. So he requested the body of Jesus, and he was granted it by Pontius Pilate, the governor. Hallelujah. And this tomb that was laid out for him was common, because if you were wealthy, you usually had tombs already made for your family. So he had a tomb already prepared for Jesus' body, and they had the wrapping that was set up for him. The herbs set up for him in spices in separate places, and they had a cloth on his face. And then Sunday morning, somebody say Sunday morning. Sunday morning. Oh, while it was dark outside, Mary Magdalene, hallelujah, is rushing to the tomb. Hallelujah. And where Jesus was laid to rest, the tomb, hallelujah, the tomb where the story ends right there. No more adding more time to your life. It's over. No more adding more over to your story. She came to the tomb, the place where you're memorialized, where we think about you, we speak about you, we talk about you, but there's no more adding to your story. It's over. The place where nobody can add a thing. It's done. It's no more forgiveness. It's no more going to somebody saying you love them. It's over. She came to the tomb. This is where the story ends. Hallelujah. How many of us have been in a situation where you just knew that that was the end of you? Your life was like in a tomb. Your mind was in a tomb. You thought it was the end of your story. You thought you'd never get married again. You thought you'd never get married again. You thought you'd never get married. Hallelujah. You felt like you'd never start that business. It was over. It was dead. You never have kids. You never have no more kids. You never see that dream God gave you manifest. You never have mental peace. How many ever been in a situation where you feel like you never get through that thing? You never get through that divorce. You never get through that suffering. My mind is jacked up. I'll never make it. I never would have made it. Hallelujah. But somewhere, somehow, God shows up and resurrects your life out of that tomb. Is there anybody who's been there and seen the miraculous power and resurrection of the Lord pulling you up? Hallelujah, that it was not the end of your story. Come on, somebody. God will fulfill what he promised and purposed in your life. The Bible says many are the plans in a person's heart. Hallelujah, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. It's a matter of faith. Touch your neighbor and say, do you believe? But do you believe? But do you believe? Mary is approaching the tomb where Jesus is laid to rest, and perhaps she's anxious. Perhaps she has anxiety, because maybe she has an epiphany, because in this time it was common for grave thieves to steal bodies and steal gold and steal jewel and steal all kind of relics and different things and expensive things. It was common. Hallelujah. And she's here to commemorate the dead. Hallelujah. And she arrives here on this first day and it's dark. Hallelujah. And once she arrives, her fears comes to pass. She sees that the stone, the seal, is rolled away. Come on, somebody. After she sees this, hallelujah, she doesn't investigate the tomb. Why would she? Why was she investigated? What she saw is what she saw in her mind, her worst fears. Why would she investigate the tomb? Because one thing we know about dead things is in common. They usually do what? Stay dead. They usually stay dead. And because she did not believe that a resurrection was possible, she disbelieved. And she began to run. She began to run away from Jesus because she disbelieved. Now understand, disbelief is not doubt. Doubt means to be uncertain. I don't know. Maybe not. Doubt. But disbelief means you are convinced that something is not true or real. And when someone is in disbelief, they can't recognize anything from God. When you don't have faith, when you don't believe God, it's impossible to please him. You are disconnected. So you can't see anything from God. You're alone. You're disconnected. You're disembodulated. You're all over the place. You have no structure. You have no order. There's no submission. He's not ruling you. Your footsteps are not ordered by the Lord. Come on, somebody. Have you ever been in disbelief with God? Have you ever been in disbelief? You didn't believe. You didn't believe your financial situation would turn around. You didn't believe that marital situation would turn around. I don't even want to go home. My marriage situation is finished. It's over. It's in the tomb. That job situation won't turn around. that health condition, the doctor said it is over. But I'm in disbelief. I can't believe God for this situation. Not for this, because too many people have died from this condition. I'm in disbelief. Because the moment we stop believing in God in our situations, we stop running towards Him and we start running away from Him. Come on, somebody. We become less and less like who we are, who He is, our character. We stop being like who He is. I like saying that like that. I just like how that sounds. We stop being who we are because we're running from Him. Now we don't have His purpose on us. We have abandoned our purpose and we become something else all entirely. Come on, somebody. We start hanging out with people that ain't me. We start drinking things that ain't me. We start partying with certain people. With certain people. You could party with Jesus, folks, but with and that's just not me. The things that I said to you, brother, that's not me, because I have been drawn away. I ran from Jesus because I had disbelief of a resurrection. Hallelujah. But somehow, some way, God love still finds me. The Bible says, hallelujah, the psalmist says, if I ascend to heaven, you are there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. I just thank the Lord, because no matter wherever I find myself, He won't leave me alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank Jesus He won't leave me alone, because He said it ain't good. But the Bible says that He would not withhold any good thing from me. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Touch your neighbor and say, He will never leave me nor forsake me. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on. Belief reveals the character of God. But disbelief blinds us from the character of God. I said belief reveals the character of God. But disbelief blinds us from the character of God. This is why our relationships are measured by how our character has been revealed. Our relationships are measured by how our character has been revealed. If I know a little bit about your character, I know just a little bit about you. But if I know much about your character, you, then I know much about you. Come on, somebody. This is why the Bible says Peter denied him. Peter knew the miracles. He knew the teachings. How could he deny him? But he did not know the character of Jesus. Why? Because we do. Jesus' character is resurrection and life. He didn't know that. So he denied Jesus. Come on, somebody. He never understood his true character. It hadn't been revealed to him yet. Come on, somebody. Oh, now let me just go down your street. Y'all playing with me this morning. How many of us are in relationships right now? And you don't know the character who you're dealing with. Come on, you don't know who you're sleeping with. You don't know who you hanging with. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Tell them women to slow down. I just want to get to know you. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Slow down. Come on, somebody. Fellas, slow down. Get to know them. Get to know who they are. Come on, we trying on things. We trying on ornaments and flesh. When the Bible says try the spirit and see if that is of God. Why? Because that's the character. You can find out if the brother believes something. Well, how I'm going to know, Pastor, how I'm going to know what they believe? By their fruit? Tell me what the cigarette buds from their fingernails or something. You know them by their fruit. Come on. See if they read a book or something. Find it. Come on, somebody. I ain't getting no amens because y'all ain't figuring this thing out. Y'all want to figure it out. You want to just do what you're doing. But you're not, but you don't know who you with. You because you don't know their character. Come on, somebody. And the same goes. Come on, somebody. I remember my wife had a friend. And I know I'm messing you up, honey. But it's fun. It's so fun. Hallelujah. So fun. When you get you're gonna get your turn in a couple weeks from now. My wife had a friend that she was close to for years. And I asked my wife, I said, man, you know, that's interesting. And I think they were having some issues. And I was like, yo, so tell me a little bit about her, where she live. I ain't never been in her house before. What? How you gonna be cool with somebody all these years? You ain't never been in their house. I want to know what's going on. That's how I know who you are. I know what you do. I know what you believe. But we don't investigate nothing no more. We go after things that are best for us at the moment. Come on, somebody. You going after something now, then later. I'm saying play the long game, baby. You need to figure out who they are. Because if you figure out who they are, you probably dancing with the enemy. Hallelujah. Come on now, let me get started. Come on. The word of God. Hallelujah. Let me get right back into this right here. And the same thing goes for Mary in this story. She experienced for herself the resurrection power for herself, because the Bible says she had seven devils. She had seven devils. And Jesus, hallelujah, casted them devils from her body. And from then on, she was a follower of Jesus Christ. But she did not know that he was the resurrection and the life. That is his character. She didn't know that. So here she is. Come on, somebody. Now she's here, and she's crying, and she's in disbelief. And when you're in disbelief, you cannot see the things of God. You're blinded. The Bible says she looks into the tomb. I just want to go over just three quick points. Just three quick points on how the Lord will find you, even in your disbelief. Oh, God, I just want to, let me just shut this thing. I want to show you how Jesus finds you, even in your disbelief. The Bible says that Mary, hallelujah, was looking into the tomb, and she saw angels, the threshing floor, one in front of the bed where he laid, and one in the back of where he once laid, like the Ark of the Covenant. Hey, God. Hey. And the cherubim was there, and she saw it and didn't even recognize it was angels. And the Bible said the angel said, "What are you crying? Why are you crying, woman? What's wrong with you?" She didn't get the memo. She didn't know his character. She didn't know. And she says, "What have they done with my Lord? What have they done with him?" Hallelujah. She didn't know. And she turns around and she sees Jesus. The Bible says that Mary saw Jesus. Come on, somebody. She was so anticipating something. She was anticipating a dead thing, but the thing had been resurrected, and she didn't even recognize him. Come on, somebody. Some of us are in situations right now where we're anticipating a dead thing when we have the power to resurrect it in forgiveness. But you're running around going home to a dead thing that you have access, power to change. She sees Jesus, but in her disbelief, she doesn't even recognize it. She thinks Jesus is a gardener. That's disrespectful, straight up. That's straight disrespectful, right? And Jesus says, what's wrong with you? Why are you crying? And she says, where have you put my Lord? And I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that he knows how to talk to us even in our disbelief. The Bible says he said, Mary. He called her by her name. I'm here to tell somebody, I don't care where you are, how lost you might be, but God knows you by your name. He knows every hair on your head. Hallelujah. That just messed me up. Hallelujah. He knows you by your name. He was able to call her out. Even though she couldn't see because of her disbelief, he was able to call her out because of his word. His word was able to draw out the disbelief. He knows you by your name. He knows everything about you. He made you. He loves you. He will chase after you. He will run after you. He will leave the 99 for you. The resurrected Jesus, because it's his character. It is his character. Hallelujah. And the Bible says he told Sarah, go run and tell the brothers, go tell the disciples, go run and tell them. And tell them I'm coming to go see them. I'm gonna come see them, but I gotta go to my father, but I'm gonna come see them. And she goes, runs, she goes, preaches the gospel. Come on, man. Jesus sent the woman to preach the gospel. Oh, man, I ain't got nobody, they don't understand that joke. Jesus then got her to go preach the gospel, and hallelujah, Jesus goes, and he goes and appears before the disciples. This is getting good to me now. And he told the disciples, he says, go ahead, put your hand in there. And the Bible says they rejoice. This is my next point. But Thomas wasn't there. And they told him, we saw the Lord, but he wasn't convinced by no word. Sometimes the word won't convince you. Sometimes the word won't convince you. Hard evidence will. I love Jesus so much because the Bible says that a week later, he went to Thomas and he says, come on, go ahead and put your hand in there. Go ahead and touch me. Go ahead and put your hand in my side. And Thomas says, my Lord and my God. Hallelujah. God loves you so much, if a word doesn't suffice, his touch will. Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I just said? If his word doesn't suffice, then his touch will. Some of you today right now needs a touch from the Lord. Oh, if I had a touch from Jesus, that's all I would ever need. Hallelujah. And part three. Hallelujah. While Jesus is chasing after you, the Bible says that in the beginning of this story, Mary runs and she goes and tells John and Peter, and they go racing to the tomb. What? He's gone. He's missing. And they go and see the tomb. And right there at the tomb, when they go in, they see the linen laying there with no body in it. It's just lying on the ground. But they say the face covering laying on the side of the wall. Hallelujah. And the Bible says it didn't take John much. The Bible says that when he saw the face linen against the wall rolled up. Come on, somebody. The Bible says that he saw that. And Elder Glenn, he said, he believed. He believed what? He saw a characteristic of God. And by him seeing God's character, that was enough. What I'm trying to say to you is, God is trying to get us to a place where we learn to see his character. Because his character has resurrection power. But we can access it through forgiveness. The text that I read, I'm coming in. Thank you, Lord, for this. We're going to have us some ice cream and we're going to party hardy. I'm so excited for Jesus. Hallelujah. Some of y'all ain't get the ones that didn't laugh ain't getting ice cream. Hallelujah. The Bible reads, says that when Jesus sees the disciples, he sees them and he blows on them. He says, receive. Listen, he says, receive the Holy Spirit. If you want the presence of God's character, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand for me. The Bible says he blew on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, his character. His character, his resurrection power. And the Bible says this. He says, if you forgive them their sins, he gave them power. If you forgive them their sins, they're forgiven. But if you retain their sins, this means if they don't believe, then their sins are retained. They stay blind. Come on, somebody. Is there anybody in the room, hallelujah, that has been forgiven? I want you to put your hands together for Jesus. If you've been forgiven. Because if you've been forgiven, you've been resurrected. And you have the power. You have the power to bring something alive. I want you to do something for me. As my wife and I rolled in here today, give me a track or something. This is cool. When my wife and I drove in here today, we were so excited. We get to praise and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. He has risen. And we get to do it with you. We get to celebrate it with you. But now let me talk to your hearts. As we drove in here, we saw homeless folk. We saw photographs of youth that were deceased. It was just memorial photographs. As we're driving in, and we have an opportunity to bestow power in this community. Do you know how? Forgiveness. We got power. With a show of hands, I want to see who's committed to bestowing their power in this community, bestowing their power in their homes, bestowing their power in their workplace, bestowing their power in the park or in your car. Or when somebody flicks you off and you know you ain't forgot how to cuss. But you learn to use your power. I want you to raise your hand up there. Because this is the character of Jesus. And imagine this. If we go into this community, if you go into your home, keep your hands up. I'm in a school now. I'm Mr. Clark. The youngins don't know about Lean On Me. Keep them up. We have an opportunity to use your character, his character. Because when they see you, they should see the resurrected Savior. Do you hear what I'm saying? When they see you, they should see the resurrected Savior. Why? Because they will see his character. And his character gets accessed through your forgiveness. Pray with me. Pray with me. Keep your hands lifted for me. If your hands, your arms are tired. Elder say, use the other one. Keep your hands up. I love Jesus so much. He's given us an opportunity to be connected with the Father because he got up. And he's given us resurrection power with our abilities to forgive. Father, in the name of Jesus, with these hands that are lifted up, we owe you and we honor you because what you did for us on Calvary, but you didn't just stay on that cross, Lord. You got up. You rose. You resurrected. And you've given us that same power to resurrect things that are all around us. Thank you, Father. We will obey and we will present the character of Jesus Christ to the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, if you love him, put your hands together. Stand to your feet. Come on, stand to your feet. This is Easter. Stand to your feet and give God some praise. I said stand to your feet. If you're clapping for me, I can feel that. But if you're clapping for the resurrected Savior, come on somebody. He is due the praise. All the praise. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Come on somebody. Give somebody a hand clap. Clap somebody's hand next to you. Tell them you love them. And you can be seated. In the precious name of Jesus. At this moment, this moment is very precious. This moment is very precious. This is our opportunity to give unto the Lord. And I'm asking you to go into your heart, not in your pockets, but go into your heart. And give unto the Lord. In the next few moments, you're going to have ushers walking around. And they're going to pass you cards or envelopes. If you want to give to the Lord with stuff that folds, that's your option. If you're somebody that's technologically sound, you can also give by texting. Text to give. To give real to 73256. give real to 73256. And if texting's not your thing, you already on your phone. I saw you. You can go to your phone and go to the website. IsraelLife.com. Israel Life. That's one L. IsraelLife.com. And you can give. But I'm asking you to give with your heart. Amen. Is there, you got a cheat sheet? Okay. If there's any first-time visitors, would you just raise your hand for us? We want to give you a card. Praise the Lord. Put your hands together. We just want to. Thank you so much for celebrating Jesus with us today. This pretty woman right here in front of me, this is my mother. Mom, stand up with your pretty self. Come on, somebody. That woman right there, that's a resurrecting woman. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. We just want to give you something. I really mean that about you all. We have an opportunity to share the character of Jesus in all that we do. Bring life, resurrect things. By forgiving. There's somebody in your life, I know we're about to do, but there's somebody in your life right now that if you just take the moment right now in your mind, it's a possibility that you need to forgive. Some of us don't want to forgive because you're mad. But what if God, when he get mad at you, don't forgive you. He's given you authority and power to resurrect things in your life. Forgive that person. Amen. For those of you who are given unto the Lord, would you just raise your phone or that envelope as a sweet savor, aroma to the Lord? Father, we just give you glory. Father, what an honor it is to be in this big old place that you have vision for. Lord, we see the seats filling up. We see the community getting stronger, getting financially free. Lord, marriages being developed in this, fathers being in the community. We see ourselves, Lord, binding up devils in this school, in this community. Binding up cancer and Alzheimer's disease and all kind of pestilence or diseases. We see ourselves, Father, showing you a resurrected city because of you. Father, we thank you for all those that are given. We ask that you would bless the givers. Give back to them good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men pour into their bosom. God, I thank you for those who were not able to give or did not have the heart to give because they had disbelief. But Lord, you showed us three ways that you can come to us in our disbelief. It's your character, it's with a touch. Us with your word. Talk to us, Lord, so that we may give back. But we thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may pass those in. Come on now, give me something exciting. What y'all doing? Hey! Something exciting. If there's one that want to give their life to the Lord, you're tired of running. Something that you may have heard today, or maybe you've been hearing, and you're ready for a connection with Jesus. You're ready for your life to resurrect. You're ready to have the character like Jesus. And maybe you don't have the strength to forgive like Jesus. Will you come? Will you come? There's been so, I don't know about you, but there's been so many deaths. There's been so much sickness, so many conditions that are going on. And you just never know when your time is up. Because remember this, when you're in the tomb, hallelujah, there is a Lord. His name is Jesus. And the Bible says, if you believe in him, when you do die, you just sleep. Did you hear what I just said? I said that Jesus says, when you die, it's just sleep, because he has power to wake you up. Now, I don't know about you, but I want Jesus to wake me up. I want him to wake me up on this side and on that side. And if you're somebody that don't know him, this is your opportunity to get an opportunity to know him for the first time. And I'm not inviting you to know religion. It's not what we're doing. I'm inviting you to a relationship with him. Get to know his character so you can know him, know his ways, and a stranger you will not follow. If that is you and God is pulling on your heart, don't wait till tomorrow. Don't put it off. It's your opportunity to give all to the Lord. If you're somebody that needs prayer, you a prayer. You're tired of how things are going on in your life. You need a touch. You need a word. Will you come? Will you come? Jesus is a gentleman. Listen, he won't come after you, but I will. My church knows I'll call on him. I'm just playing with you. Jesus will come after you. And if he's coming after you right now, take a step forward. We just want to pray with you. Amen. Come on up here. We want to pray with you. Come on up here. We want to pray with you. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Listen. Israel Life, we a church. I said, Israel Life, we a church. We're here to resurrect lives. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. I know there's some more. Come on up. I know there's more. Come on up. Following this, come on up here, brother. I want to pray for you. Come on, y'all. Put your hands together. Put your hands together. Some of y'all, it should be you. We got enough elders for you. We got enough hands to pray for you. Come on up here and get a touch from the Lord. Come on up here. I love the babies. Look at that. I love this. I love this. Look at this, y'all. Look at this. When I see these young people come up, I see our leaders. I see community leaders. Hallelujah. Will everybody stand? Following this, there's an ice cream social. Y'all ain't in no rush. We want to take pictures with you. We want to eat ice cream with you. It's free for y'all. It's free. Hang out with us. We want to take pictures with you. We want to celebrate Jesus with you. Is that all right with y'all? Y'all make sure y'all hang out with us, all right? We want to hang out with you, take pictures, and eat ice cream and love on y'all. Is that all right? After this prayer, you are dismissed. But if you want to stick around, we're just asking you that you still keep the sanctuary sacred. We'll be casting down some things up here. Asking you that if you do remain in your seat, be prayerful. You never know what a person is going through and what life that needs to be resurrected. Amen. So let me pray for you. Don't you leave without giving me no hug, neither. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I just thank you for your people. Thank you for their obedience for showing up this morning, not for me, not for Israel Life, but because you got up, Father. That's why we're here. So, God, we thank you for the obedience. We're thanking you for drawing these men and these great women here, God. As I look out into the crowd, God, I see diversity. I see diversity in ages. I see diversity in race. I see diversity in gender. I've never seen this many men in the church before. God, I thank you for bringing the men back. Hallelujah. You are bringing the men back, God. You're bringing husbands. You're bringing fathers. You're bringing brothers. You're bringing the head. I only got a couple women in. Say, yeah. You're bringing the head back, God. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father. I ask that you would be with your people. Continue to resonate in their hearts and their minds of the word that was preached to them today, and the mandate, the responsibility they have as resurrected people, that we may spread the resurrection to the world. We thank you, we honor you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Amen and amen.